Fear. And some of us have learned in life that fear is a real thing. It's almost like a person or a demonic force that sometimes really works against us. And I know there have been times in my life I've really just experienced that darkness of fear. And I just think that there's some of us here today, that those songs were not by accident. You know, they're for me today. They're for you today. I don't know what you're afraid of, but the good news is you don't need to be. You don't need to be afraid. Maybe it's a sickness that you've been diagnosed with, or it's a marriage that's struggling, or you're going through a dark spot in your life. Maybe you're going through depression. You know, you got to put your name in there, but you don't need to be afraid. The God of angel armies is by your side today. The God of angel armies. Amen. Woo-hoo! The God of angel armies. You're not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. The God of angel armies is by your side. And you don't need to be afraid. There's something in your life that just kind of looms. You know, it hangs there sometimes. Just as we sing and as we worship today, we break that off. Amen. Can we agree on that today?
Amen.
We break that off.
Amen.
We break off the addiction Amen. That continues yes. to try to control our lives. Amen. We break yes, off the
Jesus.
Fear
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus right
Thank
now.
You, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. It has
Thank
no power
Jesus.
Over me. It has no power over me because the power of the cross, the power of the cross is where I worship, is where I bow down. And we just say to fear today, be gone in Jesus' name. We speak directly to fear. Be gone, fear. You have no place in our lives. You have no right to our marriage. You have no place. No right, no authority. We take authority over you in Jesus' name. We speak to fear. We say, be gone. We serve a risen Savior, Jesus. Amen. Give him a big hand. Hallelujah.
Let's give him all the glory.
You are worthy of it all.
It's down. Three or four times last week, I had people that reached out to me, and every one of them said the same thing. Well, I don't understand this, because God says he wouldn't give me more than I can handle. So why am I going through this? So I started to research that scripture and found that it's not a scripture. It's not a scripture. This is how the enemy twists our scriptures. The scripture says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." On our own strength, we can't get through those temptations, but we can with God. And you know what? In my experience, he will let us fall on our face. He will let us be flat down in the mud if that's what it takes to get us to cry out for him. So when you find yourself in the pits, instead of wallowing and thinking that God shouldn't have you there in the first place, look within and say, why am I not reaching out to him? Because he's the one that will give me the strength to get out of it.
Amen.
This has taught me such a huge lesson. You guys, you need to know the enemy will twist our scriptures so that we go against God. We need to be in the word every day. We need to know the word in here so that we can battle. God gave us a weapon. It's called a sword. It's our Bible. And if we're not using it to defend ourselves against the enemy, what are we using? Let's pray, guys. Lord God, we just want to bless you. We love you. You are an amazing God, and the way you provide for us in things that we don't even see, because you have them planned for our future, and we haven't even got there yet. Lord God, you are just the most, there's nothing that compares to you. There is nothing. And you're always on our side. You're always beside us. And often, Lord, we forget, and we just find ourselves in that diary pit, in that mud. Lord, we need to just have our minds renewed so we can reach out to you and grab your hand, because you're always there. You're just saying, my child, I'm right here. I'm right here for you. Just grab my hand, and I will give you the strength. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're an amazing God. Amazing God. Lord, open our ears today and open our hearts and open our minds. Help us to hear what you want us to hear today, Lord. Every part of it. Don't let us miss a beat.
That's right.
Lord, we're here because we crave you.
That's right.
We want more of you. We're thirsty. We're hungry. We need you. We need you. We can't do this world without you.
That's right.
Praise you, Jesus. Lord, bless Brother Paulin as he comes up to speak, and bless Stan as he moderates for us today, Lord. Fill them with your spirit to the brim and overflowing. Fill each and every one of us to the brim and overflowing. You're so good. In Jesus' mighty, powerful name, amen.
And all the people said, amen. Well, until I get a microphone. Don't you hate that when that happens? Maybe Jeff will bring me that one. And isn't God good? The power of the Lord is in his place. And, you know, sometimes we see it in people. I get encouraged by that. You see someone preaching, and you just see the power of God taking over. Or you see, you know, Robin as she's leading us in worship today. And there's no fear. You know, the power of the Lord is just leading her and directing her. Amen. Welcome to Plotters. We are glad to be together to worship him. Amen. And we just declare what we've been declaring all through worship, that the enemy, he doesn't get to win. He's already lost. It's not like we have to wait for this battle to come. It's already happened. He is a defeated foe. Jesus is resurrected. He's alive. And, you know, I look over some of your faces, and I see some of the victories that's happening. And I talked to a few of you today. I won't point you out, but there's some really good things taking place. And sometimes, you know, we have to make a choice where we want to live, and that's where I want to live. I want to live in the victory. I want to live in what God is doing, not in what we think he's not doing. And, you know, we can, in our human frailty and in our sinful nature, we could spend all day talking about what God's not doing, and we could be moping around, and we could be wishing this. We do that a lot sometimes. Man, I wish this would happen, or how come that didn't go any better than it should have gone, right? We make a choice in where we're going to live, and I choose to live in the victory of Jesus and in what he is doing and in the victory that he shows me every single day. Thank you, God, for that. One of the ways that we know, Robin was talking about the scriptures, one of the things that we learn in the scriptures is that we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. We agree with that? Right? Yeah, you can clap. Come on, don't hold back. Yeah. That's funny that you do that. I was reading Psalm 47 this morning, and it says, clap to the Lord. And I'm thinking, yeah. I remember growing up in a church. I'm off subject now, but it's okay. I grew up in a church where we didn't clap. Like, there was no clapping. And I thought, well, it says to clap. Like, why did we not clap? Like, we should have clapped. It says, clap to the Lord, all you people. Clap to the Lord. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because we were afraid that we might clap wrong. Because maybe sometimes we do that. Maybe we clap not for God, but for other people or whatever. But then I thought, you know what? I'd rather clap wrong than not clap at all. So let's just clap. Come on, give me a hand. Yeah, amen. And you know, at the end of the day or at the end of the service, I don't think we clap wrong. I think God's okay with it. He goes, oh, I just receive it all. I'll take the glory. I'm just going to receive all the praise of all my people. Okay, now back to that passage in Revelation, that we defeat the enemy, we have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It is why our testimonies are so important. We just got to speak it out. And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's a fearful thing to do. But we speak it out. And when we speak that out, we grow ourselves. The people who hear it are encouraged. And the enemy is reminded that he's a loser. He's lost. He can't use fear. He can't use any manner of weapon against us because we have the power of the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now you can, Psalm 47 again, right? Clap your hands, all you people. Come on up here, Byron. Come on up, Byron. I just brought that in to make sure Byron was actually going to carry through with this testimony, but hey, buddy. We welcome you. This is Byron. Byron's one of our guys at Lazarus House. He's been in Lazarus' house for, what, about 4 months now? Two months. Two months. Wow. Time goes. Byron, we welcome you. I'm just going to pray for you, okay? But God, thank you that Byron is here. Thank you for the changes that you have incurred in his life. Thank you that you fill him with your Holy Spirit. And we pray that his testimony before us today will also be a testimony before you and your angels. And as he speaks the truth about how you have changed his life and given him victory and how important you are, God, that the enemy will flee in doing so. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You want to just go up there? All right.
Oh, this ain't so bad. Hi. It's up there. Just hold it real close. Hi. Yeah, like Stan says, I'm Byron, and well, there's a picture of my daughter. Some of you guys know I have a kid. Her name is Ariana. She is 6 years old. You know what? I'm from Edmonton. I'm not from Red Deer. I've only been here a couple times. I've driven through. But I came here two and a half months ago, for her. My ex-wife is trying to take sole custody of my daughter, and when I first got the subpoena in court, I was going to let her have it. I was going to let her take it because some of you guys know I'm also a drug addict. Okay, and but you know I am a damn good father, regardless of that. But in the state of I was in, I was in active addiction. I was going nowhere. I was on the streets of Edmonton. I was in and out of jail. I haven't seen my kid in a year. I just decided, you know what? You know, I can't stand my ex-family and my ex-wife and for all they've done to me. But I forgive her, and I was going to let her take custody, because you know what, regardless of what they're doing, she's better off there than she was with me. So, and then about a week before court, week and a half before court, I sat down with somebody and I talked to her. And I was also trying to do the program, I was trying to clean it up here and there, but it wasn't working. But we sat down, we talked about this, and she's like, you know what, you have to go. You have to be at court. You cannot let them have sole custody, because if they get that, you will never see your kid again. And I thought about it, and I'm like, okay, well, what do I do? So I took a good look around. I packed up my two duffel bags and a backpack, and I strapped on my rollerblades, and I was heading down to QE2 to try and get here in 4 days. Well, I got here. And you know what? I got a ride from somebody from Hope Mission, whom I just met 2 days prior to that. And I told him what was going on. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you a ride to Red Deer. So, well, I came here for her. I came here for Ariana. I came to fight. That's the only reason I came. And I think I've lost that battle. I've put the court matter off time and time again. It's been 2 months. Finally, was it 2 weeks ago? At the end of July, Sam wasn't even there. And the judge granted them what they wanted. The judge granted them the right to the passport and the right to travel without my consent. I have a court date coming up, this Friday coming up. And it's just a formality where they'll probably get sole custody. So, you know what, I came here to fight for her, and who knows, maybe in a week things will change, but I don't know. But regardless of that, I have no idea what to say, really I don't. Started writing last night, and I really wrote a lot of shit. Sorry, pardon my language. You know what? I just go from the... That was a $500 iPad. Let's hope that case stood up. Well, I'll go from the heart here. I've had two failed marriages. I've got a kid that doesn't know me. I spent most of my 20s in active addiction. I did clean up. I was clean for 9 years. I got married, had a kid, had a house, had a wife, had a fiance, had two stepkids. I had it all. I don't even have one with me. I held the world in the palm of my hands. And I had it all. I knew it all. I had all the answers. The world was in the palm of my hands. Well, you know what? God has a funny way of, and life has a funny way of, changing all the questions. So about year and a half ago, I fell off the wagon. I relapsed after 9 years, and I still haven't figured out why, and I probably never will. So I've spent the last year and a half in active addiction. A week before I left Edmonton, I got the scar to show it, but a week before I left Edmonton, I took my last hit. And that last hit was a dose twice the size of the hit I took 3 days before that. And the dose I took 3 days before that almost dropped me. And so I took double that, knowing what it was going to do to me. Well, by the grace of God, I am still standing here. I left Edmonton. I was sitting at about 170 pounds, which is way, way underweight for my size. I'm close to 300. I've put on 40 pounds since getting here. I've put on muscle. I've gotten healthy. I left Edmonton. I was beaten, broken, homeless, helpless, hopeless. And I was going nowhere fast. I spent 6 months on the street. And, I tried to kill myself, so. And regardless of everything I've gone through, and regardless of everything that has happened, and regardless of if I never see her again, well, she'll be 18 in 12 years, so. I came to Red Deer with absolutely nothing. I came to Red Deer with, nothing. I didn't know anybody, I didn't know anywhere, I didn't know anything about Red Deer, and I was dropped off at the mustard seed with absolutely nothing. Hell, you know what? People's Place wouldn't even let me in that night because they thought I was still under the influence. And even though I wasn't, I was. I wasn't, but they wouldn't let me in. So I packed up my duffel bags and I crossed the river to whatever that math program, what is it, Safe Harbor? And I wound up crashing there. Not even 24 hours of being here. I met Raymond. I met, he's not here, Pastor Alvin at... Potter's Hands, there we go. I should know this. And Alvin invited me into Bible study, and, well, you know what, the rest is history. So, where I once had anger, I have... I shouldn't have thrown that. Where I once had anger, I have peace in my heart. Where I once had hopelessness and despair, I have hope. I have found family who actually care. I have found friends who are honest and true. And I found peace. I found hope. I have found. Okay, I have found new life where I wanted to die. And so, I've gone through a few setbacks from being here, okay. Mainly her. And you know what? For the first time in my life, I actually don't know what the future holds, okay? But I do know this. With everything I've lost, which is everything, I have gained so much more. Hallelujah. So, thank you. hours on this case, so we better demo.
Yeah, okay. Why don't we have the guys from Lazarus House come on up, and we're going to pray for you, Byron, because that's what we do. We support each other, and I appreciate your words today. I appreciate just what you said. You know, yeah, you had lost everything, but you've gained it again. And some of the things that you think you've lost, God's going to replace too. God can do that. God can really do that. So why don't we join around our brother here, and maybe we'll just say a word. Thank you, God, for Byron and for his testimony. Thank you that you remind us that you bring us out of darkness into light, and that where there's hopelessness, there's nothing but hope with you. And where there's injustice in a system that's supposed to be a just system, there is always justice and fairness with you. Thank you that you are a God who loves. And I just pray, we pray for our brother Byron right now, that you will continue to walk with him on this journey, that you will fill him with the power of your Holy Spirit, that he will know you in deeper ways every day. Thank you, God, for the courage that he had to stand up and to speak your name and to let us know that his life is changed for only one reason, because of Jesus Christ. And we give you the glory, and we join with our brother asking you to strengthen him, to keep him resilient against the temptations, like that was just on the word was just given earlier, that you will help us whatever temptation comes. With the temptations, you are there for us. So be with Byron and give him strength because of that. And surround him with these good friends, God. And we thank you, God. This is a great testimony of victory in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, I pray to your Holy Spirit, who is about us now and every day, that he will grant access, open the doors to visit Ariana, to see her, and reestablish that relationship they had with her. Yes, that you will make a way, that you will break down the walls that the enemy has put up, the mother-in-law, the outlaw. Lord, have mercy on her soul. And Lord, work in their lives as you're working in Byron's right now, Lord, that you will touch them and they soften their hearts to allow him to see his daughter. And that all good things, all things will work out for good, because he loves you, Lord, and he seeks after you. Now I pray a blessing upon him that he will be the man you want him to be, that his daughter will be part of, and his ex-wife also, and that she will see the error of her mother's directions. And Lord, a mighty blessing upon him indeed, and that you would keep your hand above him to protect him and lead him by your Holy Spirit and keep him strong. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Amen. We keep praying for, let's remember this, we keep praying for our brothers from Lazarus House, right? And it's a great healing place. It's good to hear this. It is good. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Amen? That's good. Yes. Yeah, we got lots going on here, but you bet.
I just received, when we were praying for you, Byron, that this is going to be a test of your testimony. The first four letters of testimony is test. And that there will be a great victory. And the Lord was impressing upon me that you are to forgive each and every member of your family. Set yourself free from the offense of unforgiveness. So move forward in that and just wrap yourself in God's love.
Amen. I'm convicted that maybe I'm going too fast. So that was so important that we heard that. Thank you. Anyone else? Maybe we need to stop for a second. Is God saying something? Yeah, okay, Rick.
This is what happened to me when I became a Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. So that's what happened to me, and that's what's going to happen to you, Byron. Because that, you know, this is all for you. And God has done it, and praise his name. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, Lenny, stand up.
I am standing up. I'd just like to say to Byron, way to go, and you can beat it.
Where'd you go?
It's right here.
Oh. Looking. You can beat it with the, you know, with the Lord's power, you can beat it. I thought I was one of the weakest people there ever was. I thought I was a total pushover for everything. But I've kicked crack cocaine, and now I've kicked cigarettes. So, and it's all because of the Lord. The Lord has given me, I told him I need to get rid of this cigarette habit because it's killing my mom, and it's killing me watching my mom, and I don't want to end up like that. And I know the Lord didn't want me filled with cigarettes and stuff. So I prayed to him, and we prayed at our Bible study, and I swear to God, I'm swearing to you, Lord, I have no cravings. I can't even believe it. I walked through the thingy there, the foyer, and I could smell it, and I thought, oh, that's gross. And so I'm so glad that I'm free of that. The ball and chain has been lifted. Thank you to the Lord.
She smells so good. Yes. Fortone. That's good, right? This is encouraging. I like it when they run up front. There we go.
Yes, I just want to encourage my brother. We live with him. Baron is a very good man. That devil, as Bible says in the book of John 10:10, is a liar.
Yes.
He's a destroyer.
Yeah.
But Baron is a good guy. And God is going to use him for his glory. Amen. What I want to say. You see, I have 7 kids. They put me here in the cell 2 times. But today, God restore.
That's right.
God restore. Whatever Satan take before to your life, God is going to restore it. Because you have a new life. You have a new man. You have a new boss. That's a Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thank you so much. And I want to thank all of you. And
Pastor, I don't know if you know already. We already put a date.
I heard that. Tell people.
Yeah. So that is always what God can restore to people's life. Because the family, I repeat that thing all the time, the family is the base of the society. Mm-hmm. Family is the base of society because Satan is attacking the family. When he attacks the family, then now there's an open door. He can come and enter. All the demons, they are entering. I was talking to a lady, Pastor, many testimony. I was talking to a lady. I went to look for my tax. I want to do my taxes. I went to the old place of taxes, Revenue Canada, here in the corner, near City Hall. It was there before. I went there, I see the place was locked. I turned to the back, I see one woman who was smoking there. I say, excuse me, madam, good morning. He said, good morning. I want a form. The lady told me, no, they shut down here. We are being 137 people. 100 people, they lay them off. We are only 37 here. I say, things of government is like that. Sometimes the government goes high, sometimes we say yes. And I want to go something touch my heart. Talk to that lady. She's called Erica. And I say, can I pray for you? The lady say, you pray for me? I say, yes. He say, yes. When I start praying, the lady just starts weeping.
Wow.
Weeping. And I start weeping too. I didn't understand, Pastor. It was morning. I was coming to the Bible school. But we start weeping. I said, but what is this? I tell the lady, really, tell me, what is going to your life? He told me, a lot. Where are you living? I live in Innisfail. I say, give me your phone number. She gave me her phone number. I say, no, I'll put you in a prayer. But I pray in this place. If it's possible, you can come. He said, you know, I have a lot of things to do. I leave God. And there's no way I can come back. I said, no, God is there, available.
Exactly.
24 hours, 7 to 7, he's there. As long as you say, Father, here I am, he's there. But the demons, they don't care. You don't love them, they are there. But the Spirit, Holy Spirit is a gentle. If you say, I don't want you, he goes.
That's right.
If you say, I want you, he's there.
That's right.
As long as you say, you want God, he's there already in your knees. So we pray together. And he told me, okay, I'll come. But we still talking on the phone, but she'll come.
Yeah.
Yeah. How God can do to people's lives.
Amen.
Baron, God changed lives. God is going to use you. And we are now getting our marriage and on 23rd of next month.
September.
Yeah.
September 23rd.
Yeah. So.
Getting remarried.
Yeah. So. To my wife, the mother of my 7 kids. Yeah, yes, I did. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, that's a good report.
Byron, you know, I've been through 4.5 years of some real tough trials. And the one thing I learned, my friend, is the more I submitted and surrendered to God, the more strength that I gained. Okay? And so just give every little thing that you've got in your life to Jesus. Because he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for hope and a future. And I do know that God's word also says that he will restore the years that the locusts have taken. Okay, so he's going to do that for you, brother. Okay?
Thank you, Jesus. All right. We have, there's been lots of good testimonies, and that's awesome. And there's one more, apparently. This is, I don't care. We can go all day. Pauline, you just got to cut it short. That's not my fault, so.
Sorry, Pauline, but I just felt I should share something today because I, you know, I'm a little bit unsure about it, and but the Lord said, no, you need to share this. I'm not the type of person that I would say that hears God audibly or I'm very prophetic or anything else like that. Never considered myself that way, but I've had a bit of a crisis in our family this last week. It kind of rocked my world a bit. But when I was flying out to BC to pick up my daughter, I was in the plane, and I heard like 4 or 5 times, I heard, let my people go, let my people go, let my people go, let my people go. And I've been asking God, what are you saying? What is that? Like, that wasn't just me. Like, I heard that, like, not audibly, but, and I felt like the Lord was saying to me, be encouraged, you know. Be encouraged yourself, Tim, and be encouraged for the body of Christ. Because I have friends that I know that are, you know, going through struggles. They're different struggles than maybe the ones that I have, but but there are struggles nevertheless. And I felt like the Lord was saying, it's like if I was to grab his hand, right? And he's trying to get up, try to get away for a sec, right? There's a struggle, right? But I believe that God, I believe God's, sorry. And it hurts a bit afterwards, right? It hurts him more maybe than me, but I feel God saying that you know, the enemy has been working overtime on people's families, and we're living in a difficult day, and I think the Lord's wanting to say, be encouraged. I'm actually sending out a command to my angels. It's a command, and he's sending his angels out. And those of us that are feeling that we've been held or we're being held or there's something that's really, okay, it's going to maybe hurt for a while, and it may not feel like it's that you're going to get free, but you are, because you don't fight this battle alone. And Jesus has angels. They're ministering spirits. And I believe that he's releasing them on the earth today. I really believe that. And maybe this person or Annie's struggle, you know, she got free from smoking here. She's got let go. Sonny, you know, he's not in the hospital anymore. He's not on his oxygen today. I may be going through a struggle right now, but I don't know what God's timing is, but I'm going to be let go too. There's other people here that are maybe feeling even more so than I am, that they're caught up with something right now. But be of good courage. You're going to get free. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, no, no. Okay. Okay. We will do that. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean, no, there's so many things going on. I'm trying to listen to God, and I'm trying, and I think he's saying that we need to just do a little more of this. So it's just, I think that we're getting a lot out of it. I believe we're hearing from God. You know, I was thinking, if I'm sitting on an airplane, and at least 5 times I'm hearing, let my people go, I'm thinking, get off the plane. So I appreciate your faith. What's God saying? I think God's really moving in here today. What's he saying? You know, how else can he encourage us today? And we're going to pray for Sonny and Teresa. But, you know, pretty soon Pauline's going to bring a word. It's going to be the Reader's Digest condensed version, but that's still a word. It's good. Anyone else have something that you know what God's just pressing on your heart that the body needs to hear? Because we have a voice here. That's one thing that's sort of unique about our church. You have a voice. You can speak out. That doesn't mean you always need to speak out, but you can speak out. We give that opportunity because we believe that God speaks through his body, not just through one person. So, yeah, Ted. Now I'm running.
Well, I listened to Bill Johnson last night, and he said something so profound. He said, listen, what happened yesterday is in the past. It's forgiven. It's done. When we bring this past back, we're believing. We're not believing that his blood is sufficient. We're not believing that he has done it all. So remember, Jesus Christ, it is finished.
Amen. Okay, short.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, God put for me this message, and I share it with Pastor Alvin. All the time when I have something God shows me, I share with Pastor Alvin when we pray. So what God shows me about the body of Christ is one time, Pastor, to gather together to pray for people who are married couples, because there is a lot of things is happening in the houses, in the family. We are like, God shows me that it's like white tomb. They put white tomb. You don't know what is inside. When you look at good flowers, grass, green grass, but inside, Pastor, is very, very hard. What really, I talked to Pastor Alvin that as a minister, as also parents, to pray for couple, people are married. They come together, we pray for them. You pray for them, and us, we pray for them too.
Amen.
That is a message that God gave me. I talked to Pastor.
That's a prophetic word.
Amen.
I take it as that.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's do that. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for all the things that you're doing here this morning. And we do pray for marriages and for families. We've heard this a number of times today, so we commit our families, our marriages to you, and the attack against our children and our grandchildren and against our wives or our husbands. We ask, God, that you will preserve us and that we will really love each other and that we will work to be harmonious in the home and that we will serve you with all of our heart, because we know that's where it starts. We pray for Sonny and Teresa as they go on this retreat, that you will lead them and guide them and that you will speak to them and that they will get a word from you. And, Lord, that you will just show them what you would want them to know. And then, Lord, today, if we pray for Brother Pauline, thank you for the clear word that he speaks. We ask that you'll give him confidence and that we will leave here today knowing what you want us to hear and what you want us to learn from your word of truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, good morning. I agree that God speaks through members of his body, not only through pastors, but through every believer who listens to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'll be, like Pastor Sun said, I'll be giving a condensed version of the Word of God today, because actually each one of you has touched the points that I was about to share with you today. That's like Sister said, yes, Forgiveness is the key to being restored. Amen. So unless Brother Byron is willing to forgive, it will be very hard for the restoration to come. Yes, whatever has been stolen from your life, from your marriage, whatever has been eaten up by the locust or by the devourers, God in His mighty power will restore each and everything back to your life as a forgiven son of God. Yes, just like Brother Ted also said, whatever is past. We should never resurrect what has been buried. There is one sign put up by God in an area which is the deepest of the sea. It reads, no fishing. So you are not allowed to fish for the mistakes of whatever sins happened in the past. You are not allowed. So let me share with you the word of God, which is taken from the writing of the Apostle Paul when he talked to the Corinthian church, and he advised this church about the enemy who loves to inject wrong thinking, wrong perception, wrong conclusion into the minds of the people. So I'll read to you, maybe if it is put up on the screen, we will read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses number 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. If you don't mind, I'd like to invite you to read these two verses together. 1, 2, 3. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wonderful and powerful scriptures. Another translation says like this: the weapons we use in our fight, remember, whether you like it or not, if you are a believer, you are already in the battle zones. You are in fight against the enemy. But you are not just let loose in the battlefield without weapons. God has equipped you with weapons given by Him, not from this world. That's why it says the weapons we use in our fight are not the world's weapon, but God's powerful weapons, which we use to destroy strongholds. I'll dwell on a little bit on this important word, stronghold. Because a stronghold, by definition, is something that you believe in your mind, in your heart, but that belief is not correct according to the Word of God. It is a lie, or it is a deception injected by the devils into your mind, and you take it in and it forms a stronghold. in your thinking system. So the Bible says we need to pull down every stronghold. Again, I will read, we pull down every proud obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. So this is the knowledge of God, which is truth. And this is the deception, the lie from the enemy, which is taken in by some people, even in the church. So that's the thing that we are in conflict. I believe it is the mission of the enemy to put wrong thoughts into the minds of the believer. But the worst thing is, if you meditate on these lies, if you agree with the lies, those lies will produce strongholds. And it doesn't stop there. It affects your feelings. So from here down to your heart or emotion or your feeling. And that's the way you land up or you ended up in bondage. All because you listen to the devil more than you listen to the truth. You listen more to the lies, to the deception from the enemy, more than you listen to the true knowledge, which is the Word of God. You listen more to Mr. Devil rather than to your Heavenly Father. So that's the incorrect thinking or the incorrect perception. That's how it becomes a stronghold. So if you have an incorrect thinking or incorrect perception, or if you have the wrong knowledge of who you are a child of God, being born again, being washed by the blood, bought by, not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of God, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. If you don't believe that, and then this stronghold will take place. That is one example, and there are many, many, many more strongholds out there, brothers and sisters, tell you. So there are always two voices speaking. Remember that. There are two voices speaking. The first one is the voice of Satan, the enemy, and the second one is the voice of God. And Satan loves to tell you things like, look at your sin you did 3 or 4 years ago. That is Satan speaking to you. And he said, you are a failure. Pastor Sun emphasized this when he spoke a few minutes ago. Yes, that's the way Satan tries to inject wrong thinking, wrong things into our mind. That's why Pastor Sun reminds us, even though the enemy is broadcasting or saying this into our minds, we have to deny that based on the Word of God. Because Jesus says through his word, he's telling us that if we turn to him and repent, we will be forgiven. That's the word of God. And that's what my Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us. And not only to forgive, but also to cleanse us from all, not half, not 50%, but from all unrighteousness. Yes, ugly past will be forgotten. And it's also Isaiah in his writing. It is in chapter 43. There is a verse that says there, I, referring to God, I, even I, it is repeated for emphasis, I, even I, God speaking, I am he that blotteth out your transgressions. Not the church, not the organization, but it is God who blotted out your transgressions, our transgressions. For whose sake? The same verse says, for the sake of God. For my own sake, said God. And I will not remember thy sins. So if God has forgotten your sins, if God does not remember your sins, my question is, why, brothers and sisters, why do you keep remembering your sins? You have a choice. You can listen either to Satan's lie, saying that you are a failure, or you can listen to God's word that tells you that your past is past and it has been washed away and you are a new creature or new creation. That's what Rick said from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yes, that verse reads, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And the Bible says, look, look, behold. There's an evidence. Behold, all things have become new. And let's remember this. Whichever voice you listen to, whether it be the voice of the enemy or the voice of God, each voice will push out the other. Meaning to say, if you listen to the voice of God, that voice of God, that voice of truth, will crowd out, will push out the voice of the enemy. The other side of the coin is also true. If you listen to the word of Satan, the enemy, the word of God that you have in your mind will be agitated, will be pushed out, will be crowded out. So it is very important to whose voice you are listening to. Suppose you have two dogs, and these two dogs keep fighting. And suppose you are only able to feed only one of those two dogs. Which one will win? Or which one will be a loser? The answer is, logic says, well, brother, it is the dog that I keep feeding. It's only common sense. It's the one that you feed. My question is, which one do I feed every day? Is it the man, is it the life of God in me, or is it the lie of the enemy? Remember that all truths are parallel, meaning if this is the truth of this physical world, it parallels also with the truth of the spiritual world. The illustration I gave you about the two dogs, that's the physical one, physical realm, but it also true on the spiritual realm. The more you listen to Satan's lies, the more you listen to his deception, the more Satan will build up stronghold in your mind. And the more stronghold build up, or the higher it goes, the harder for you to listen to the word of God. The opposite is also true. The more you listen to God, the more you store, the more you take in the living word in your heart, in your mind, the more it tears down strongholds. And the harder it is for the enemy to penetrate and to infiltrate your system. So if you listen to Satan's lies that you are a failure, he'll continue to feed you with that lie. And he'll continue to grow the stronghold in your mind. Let me repeat again. The meaning of stronghold is a lie that is believed, or it is an incorrect thinking pattern that you adopt in your life. Today is the time to demolish all those strongholds by the power of the blood of Jesus. So if you believe, if you think you are a failure, you are good for nothing, you are hopeless, you cannot change, you'll always be like that, the tendency is you will live like one. I've got a list that I wrote. I'd love to read this to you. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think angry words or angry thoughts, the result is angry words are sure to follow. If you fill your mind with ungodly fantasies, your body, your system will find a way to fulfill those ungodly fantasies. I'm not very good at computer, but 1978, that was my first time I was introduced to computer system. And one word that I keep remembering up to this day is Geiger. In computer system, there's a Geiger. Geiger, G-I-G-O, means garbage in, garbage out. Our mind, believe it or not, is very much like that computer system. Whatever you put into your mind, if it is the right one, the likelihood is something right, something lovely, something good will go out. But if it is the wrong one, the negative one, you input into your computer system, in your heart, in your thinking system, well, you know the result. Let me continue reading my list. If you dwell on in your problems, if you keep staying on your problems, those problems will soon overwhelm you. God has given us a way to get out of our problems, and He is the way. And if you feel like a victim, you input that into your mind. You keep saying, oh, I'm a victim. I'm a victim of my father's stupidity. I'm the victim of my mother's laziness. I'm the victim of the society's ungodly system. I'm the victim of this company's wrong way of handling things. If you have that kind of mentality, that victimhood is in your heart, in your mind, the likelihood or the possibility is you are a victim. You are going to be a victim. And if you give way to worries, anxieties, don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, very soon you will get ulcers. You will get some arthritis too. Well, not all physical problems or ailment or illnesses are caused by that, but most of our illnesses are due to the fact that we allow these strongholds stay in our mind. Mind will affect feelings, feeling will affect even our physical health. And if you think low thoughts, you know what I mean by low thoughts? This book, from where I'm preaching, this is the highest thoughts of God about you, because He loves you, He wants to redeem you, He wants to restore your life. That's why we need to keep storing them in our hearts. A psalmist says, how do I keep my steps from falling into sin? And God says, by storing my word, by keeping my word alive in your heart. So if you think low thoughts, the result is you will end up having a low, very low, low living. And if you expect defeat in your life, you will lose very soon. Because you programmed that into your mind. And if you dwell on rejections, you think everybody rejects you, including people in the church reject you, which is not true. That is only the lie of the enemy. God has received you into His family. His love has been shown to you lavishly. But if you keep believing that you are a rejected person, you will set up yourself up for even more rejections. Very sad. Very sad. And if you focus, brothers and sisters, on how other people misunderstand you, you keep saying, however good I behave, however good I try, he or my husband, my children, my colleagues at work, they all misunderstand me. If you keep saying that, you focus on the people misunderstanding you, you will soon become angry and bitter to your core. The truth here is, sooner or later, your thoughts, whether it be right or wrong, those thoughts will translate into reality. The flip side is also true, brothers and sisters. So if you focus on the truth, you will speak the truth. Hallelujah. If you look on noble things, nobility will soon become the mark of your life. If you seek out lovely things, I'm quoting things from Philippians 4, the writing of Paul, the apostle. If you seek out lovely things, your life will be lovely to other people. If you dwell on that which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. If you think on pure things, you will become pure. And if you look for virtues, you will find them. Guaranteed. If you look for virtues, you will find them. It's all around you in this world. In this fallen world, don't ever say that everything is already bad. God has come through his Son to redeem not only you, but including creation. Remember that? So there are many lovely things, wonderful things. There are still many virtues around, all around us. If you look for them, you will find them. Some time ago I read, I think that's an advertisement. The people want to market their properties. It says a line something like, elevate your own lifestyle. Because they are selling lofty buildings, lofty, beautiful condos. But the way how to elevate your life is by searching for higher things. Not things here on earth. And in one word, let me just say this. It is all found in Jesus. It is all found in him. Because all virtues, all beauties, all holiness, all truth, all that is good and right is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Give him glory, brothers and sisters. It's all found in him, in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have found you. Thank you for finding us. I think I'll just stop, but let me give you a little bit more. If you don't mind, can I have like 2 or 3 more minutes, please? Thank you. So let's continue to meditate on the truth of God. It is the Bible that says, if you know the truth of God, the ultimate truth, the absolute truth, will set you free. There are so many people in bondage nowadays, including those in the church, because they believe in the lie, in the deception of the enemy. Book of Isaiah says, my people perish because of what? They don't have the absolute truth or knowledge of God stored in their mind. I'm urging you today, brothers and sisters, that you believe in the finished sacrifice that Jesus has done, has paid on the cross. That your sins have been forgiven if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you can allow your conscience to be cleansed from all these dead works by the blood of Jesus. I love that song, talking or singing about the power of the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood shed for us. Our conscience can be made clean. Peace can be restored. Knowing you have forgiven us, you have accepted us as your sons and daughters, just as we are. Not based on our works, but based on the sacrifice that Jesus has paid on Calvary. You want to check the book of Hebrew. It is in chapter 9, verse 14. It says there, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For quite some time, a few years ago, I worked in the oil sands. There's a time when I was working to watch the workers working in the a very big container. Used to be toxic gases in that container. So before the workers are allowed to enter in, that big container, maybe half of this building, it's very long and very huge, they have to purge out. They purge that space, that confined space. For what purpose? So that toxic gases that used to be there are out, and the workers are not in risk working inside. Allow today the power of the blood and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to purge out everything in your system, in our system, so that we can enjoy clear and clean conscience, peace beyond measure, knowing that He has forgiven us, He loves us, He restores us, and we are the apples of His own eyes. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Can we find that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus? I don't know. I'll give you a second to find that. I know that there's some of you that need to go, but we want to just sing that song as we conclude. But I'm also thinking, you know, we've heard this message all through the day that maybe there's some lies that you've been listening to and you've been believing those lies. Pastor Paulin just gave a bunch of examples of that. You're a loser. You'll never get healed. You're never going to get a job. You'll never be free from that addiction. You know, your marriage is never going to be successful. I want to ask a few people to come up to pray today, and I want to give you that opportunity. We want to give you this opportunity for prayer. So, Russell and Debbie, if you'd come up, and Rick, would you come up? Just some names that God's been laying on. Just come on up for prayer. You're going to be praying for people today. And Tim and Barb and Darcy and Doug, too. So if you guys would just come on up right now. Come on up. Here's a chance for us to come to God and say, here's a lie I've been believing. Maybe you were convicted of something today as it was being spoken. You're never going to get healed. I'm never going to amount to anything. Whatever that lie is, you can come to the front here. We're going to just stand in a circle, or people will pray for you one-on-one, and then we're going to sing that song, okay? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Do you have that yet? Okay. Why don't we stand? What can wash away my sins? You're supposed to answer. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why don't you come on up? If you need prayer today, here's a great opportunity to do that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just come on up. If you have a need today, something you want to pray about, here we go again. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Earlier today, we talked about fears. And maybe that's something that struck a chord with you today. I encourage you to come for prayer. And just speak it. Here's what I'm afraid about, God. And that can be a number of things. There's probably 100 different things that we're afraid of. We're here to pray about that and to remind us what the truth is. The truth is that with Jesus, we have nothing to be afraid of. I'm going to give you one more chance. We're going to sing it one more time through. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood. Let's sing it out now. What? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Woo-hoo!
Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you today and give you His peace. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Go in the victory of Jesus today. Oh, precious is the flow.